caveat. And
and is that the ultimate goal, as opposed to it's going under the umbrella of, it's like combining to in more of a blended way, as opposed to being taken over by or
So the way it's set up right now, is the way it's progressing, is that FIRE would take on EMS.
Would be the governing board.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. You know, and for me, sometimes I think that's maybe not the right way, because EMS represents 80% of the call volume.
There's so much more of it.
And so that's just the way it has started. We certainly have a fiduciary responsibility over EMS as an agency. It's really important in this process what the public says, to me at least, in terms of what they perceive as the appropriate thing. When you look at the way the CAG is laid out, if financially this is a cost-saving measure to have the agencies combined for our community, that's better. If services are improved, certainly we should move forward and we should explore that. The challenges that I see just with a three-person board is you can't have any subcommittees, and the commissioners can't communicate with each other. They can only communicate through the one conduit of the chief. And so, and you guys can see how many things we're looking at. Just at the very beginning of being commissioners, how many different meetings you're meant to look at and go over. So, it concerns me that we're taking a board of five and going to a board of three, and yet increasing their call volume by 80%. So, and that's just something that, we might need to ask them to be flexible on that, if that's something that we think is important to us. But we haven't discussed this as a board.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what they think they're going to attend. Are they going to attend all these meetings that they don't currently attend as fire commissioners? Are all three of them going to commit to attend 10 meetings a month and have to do that and spread themselves thin? Or is it better for somebody with some other expertise to come in and be part of the board and also sit on some of those committees? Or are they going to let... are they going to let their staff go to those committees and report back to them, or how are they going to handle that? Just to think about that, just to hear about what they would do, because they signed on with the job they have right now. They didn't sign on with all the extra jobs.
And this just isn't a discussion we've had. And so there
it's not a discussion.
No, I mean, and that's the reason why signing a contract felt so rushed, because there are so many details, I think, that haven't really been addressed yet. And for instance, we're talking about community appraisal, things like that, dealing with the CID investigation, just dealing with our own liabilities and how we make a plan to move forward. That's we're still responsible for the agency no matter what.
Right.
So until we sign it away.
And just for a little bit of background to the ILA that was passed by the previous board is an administrative one only. It's not the final step. It's not. We don't talk about assets. We don't talk about liabilities. We don't talk about personnel. It's more or less saying, let's just put everything under the purview of one administrator who's kind of got oversight of everything, and that would be Chief Collins at this point in time. Mm-hmm. And while maintaining the fiduciary oversight and policy of EMS, that would still come through me as the interim EMS chief, but it would be coordinated and bounced off of Chief Collins, who would know the fire side of it, know the EMS side of it, and between that existing structure, start to work out with those long-range plans and get to that final project. Mm-hmm. So, just so you are all clear in what this particular ILA that was passed previously was, again, it's a stepping stone with the idea that a successor ILA would finally, take care of everything. Because we still have to answer. We still don't have an answer for the Outer Islands. We don't have, how are we going to fund this? Is it going to be a fire levy lid lift? Is it going to be an additional EMS levy that's then brought forth by the fire district? What is the board configuration going to look like? All those kinds of things were, designed to be answered later after we've had the
Right. Will town annex, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think what we've been saying is that we actually want to start looking at assets, liabilities, personnel before we sign anything. And I think there was an original contract that came out in June, which I didn't see, but the ILA ended up being a very condensed version of an administrative-only contract, which, you know, in my, you know, personally, I feel if I'm going to sign anything, I don't... If I'm signing this away from the responsibility of the public hospital district, I want to sign everything away. I don't want to retain any liability. And I think that's sort of what has been the sticking point for me with the ILA as it was. So the original contract that was formed, the much longer, more comprehensive one, is really the one that I would like to sign, ultimately. You know, that's...
See, the other thing is that you do a lot of administrative stuff, and you interface with us all the time, and mm-hmm. you make a lot of financial decisions. Mm-hmm. You're going to turn that over to Chief Collins, and yet is he going to be there? Is he going to interface with us? Is he? How can you say he's not going to be making financial decisions? He's going to absolutely be involved with that.
Right.
I mean, it is not going to be separate. It's not going to be just administrative. It is absolutely going to be the marrying of the two things, actually. I mean, that it really is. You can't make him the head and keep it and say, hey, guess what, it's separate.
Yeah,
I mean, it really won't be.
I see what you're talking about, and I think what the intent behind it was that by having the big picture and deferring to that, you know, obviously there's a difference of opinion. You know, that's my job, is to say, I'm not buying it, Chief. You know, we need to, you know, put the money here. We need to do this. We need to set aside funds from there. And if we can't come to some sort of consensus or compromise, then my job is then to come back to you and then, you know, bounce it off of you guys, and you say, no, Carl, you're not thinking right. Follow what Collins is saying, or vice versa. Carl, you're right. Tell Collins to go jump. It's that kind of thing, and that's the intent behind it. But by having that big picture and that coordination, and I can tell you just in the way we have been working together, is that Chief Monin, Assistant Chief Monin, myself, and Chief Collins, we are very collaborative about that.
I always felt that the only way you could make it happen was by an agreement and to work separately, just the way you're doing it. Mm-hmm. And then to actually make the move to actually work separately, we couldn't actually have a contract without it being the contract, the event where they're actually combined.
Where it's the end-all, because if there's actually
a contract where you're combining them, you're combining them. You know, if you combine at the top, you're combining them. I mean, you can't make decisions for EMS without making decisions for EMS. And I'm sorry. You know, and that's what you're doing. So
that's why
I thought a memorandum of understanding which is just shy of a contract. I mean, if you look it up, that's what a memorandum of understanding is like.
It's a pretty critical distance, actually, between the two.
It is. But
one is enforceable.
Yeah, right. I mean, but it's more than, well, it's a serious handshake.
Yeah, I'm not saying I disagree with you about that being a good idea. I'm just saying
that
they can have very different ramifications.
Yes, I looked it up. I looked up the legal definition, actually. So, I mean, that was because I didn't see how we could do it legally without it actually happening, without us actually blending them. It was a legal blending. I didn't see how we could have this administrative only. I didn't. It sounded
steps.
Good.
Yeah, you can't have just a little stuff.
Yeah, it sounded good, and I understand what you wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so really, I didn't. I don't want to get lost in that. I don't want to rehash that. So what I'm really curious about is how seriously do we take the CAG? How do we decide? decide what to take and what not to. I mean, what do you decide is golden and what is lead? You know,
make it a living document. I think you have to talk about it. You don't just go with the old. It's not like you make it alive by talking about it with the commissioners from the fire district and hash out. Go ahead.
If I can follow up on that, and we don't need to discuss this all today, but one of the questions I did have was on the absolute mandatory requirements that they set forth, right? They're like 7 or 8. One of them is having cross-trained paid personnel, the paid personnel being cross-trained. So did you have a chance to have a discussion about those absolute conditions with the CAG? Because I think that would be really helpful for us to know, too, because they set out a few. They said, no, these whatever you do, you have to do these things. There are 7, right? You're saying, actually, one of those we think is not a feasible option. I respect that. Right. It'd be really helpful to know, though, kind of, you know, is that where do we go? And why did the CAG think it was an absolute recommendation? And they support some of that.
Right. We've involved as the steering committee, we've used both Nathan and Chuck Deldorf, who was chair of the CAG, as sounding boards, asking actually Chuck to become involved in part of the public outreach portion of it to help Nathan with that. To answer the question specifically, no, we've never came back and pulled the CAG back together and said, yeah, we're going to do this, we're not going to do this, we agree with this, we don't agree with that, to sort out the gold from the lead. Yeah. That was never done. And I think what the plan being is, when you kind of look at the history, the CAG was asked to see, is it feasible? That it makes a sense to pursue it. And they took that and they ran with it a little bit further than their original, you know, what they originally scoped to do. Not to say that wasn't great. They did a lot of legwork to help out. I think our question becomes, and again, this is just my opinion, and you can take it or leave it. I think once the CAG report came out, again, it was that good roadmap. I can use that as a reference document. Oh, they already looked into that. They looked at that. But now we almost put that aside, and we say that's what kind of gave us the pieces that we looked at. When you look at what the steering committee did, is they said, okay, these are the things, all right, we do need to take care of the boundaries. We do need to take care of the town. We do need to figure out our funding source. So we use those same criteria that they used and said, yeah, we're going to follow what they did, and they did a lot of work, and this is the work that we're going to do to implement that. But we can almost take the CAG and say, good, great, now let's get down to the nuts and bolts. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm coming at with the CAG report. It's there as a reference. They made some really good recommendations. They made some that I don't think are so good, but we're going to move forward from that and use the work that they did.
And so this group is the next step. This group plus the fire district sitting down and saying, what can we live with? What do we need? What don't we need? Right? I mean, that's
the steering committee. Do you remember? I don't know how many of you were there and read listened to Rick Fraser read his letter at the fire meeting. And just one of his points was that, the drivers of this maybe shouldn't be the leadership of the agencies involved and the boards, and that perhaps it should be a citizens group that is leading the integration. And similar to how we set up a citizens group to analyze whether or not it was a good idea, that really having the two boards and one board and the two chiefs who ultimately will benefit from this, you know, isn't really the most transparent way to manage the process. I mean, I feel like that was the spirit of what he said. And I think there's something to that in terms of maybe rethinking what the steering committee is. And that's just something we need to continue.
You mean maybe thinking the steering committee becomes that?
Mm-hmm. Maybe the steering committee is just, because the composition changes and it's something else. And that's just something we need to continue to discuss. And you have a steering committee meeting coming up, Everett. And I won't be here. So you're most welcome to invite any of these other commissioners to join you. And Carl, of course, will be there.
Yeah, and what day is it? I didn't have it marked on my calendar.
Maybe does that meet inside
now? No.
It's
not like, I know there's going to be one.
You know, also Nathan spends a lot of time working on this as well as our employee. You're spending a great deal of time working on this. And I, you know, as long as that is in balance, Pam, you know, I mean, I do feel like as an agency, we're really kind of giving one of our employees to this process. And that's something we need to be aware of. And you're doing a great job, and I know you're fascinated by it. So I'm not trying to say that you shouldn't be doing it. It would be, in my opinion, great if the fire department could meet us a little more than halfway.
You know,
halfway on that.
I don't feel like I've spent very much time on it for a while. It was really busy.
Lately it hasn't been that, but there was one month that I kind of...
There was one really rough month where it was driving Pam crazy, I think.
Well,
driving me crazy.
But lately, since we haven't had that many meetings, it's been very manageable. But.
And you know, it's important to recognize, too, that, you know, the fire district, too, is putting staff into this, and their fire chief spent a lot of time, and particularly since Chief Kutzing is new, we've gotten a lot of free help, really.
I don't know how new Carl is anymore. It's
I can't use it anymore?
No, I don't think so.
So, yeah, and one of the things I think is you want, I think you want enough of a basis of understanding in what's in writing and what's been researched and what's been put on paper. You have a wonderful working relationship with, you know, Collins and with, like you said, the other
Mona.
But you have to think in terms of what if one of those pieces went away all of a sudden and somebody new threw it into the mix and they may have different opinions about this or that. It seems like we need enough in our in the whatever agreement we have that we end up with that it lays the groundwork to make it work regardless of the staff
players.
Because I think that's one of the things that happens a lot in organizations is that dynamic changes and then suddenly, oh my gosh, somebody really has this strong opinion about this or that. But if it's in writing and it's already agreed to, it's like this is how it's going to proceed. So in my mind, it's always like a good document is one that can be put, can be... it can be flexible depending on who's doing it, but it lays the groundwork well enough that everybody's, that it's, the pieces are in place kind of thing.
Carl, I'm just going to throw this out to you. If one, just for this, this is just for sake of discussion, if there was a decision that there were to be somebody besides just you and Chief Collins with this integration. In a perfect world, who would you like to see be the community group or person or people that would be overseeing that? And how would that look and how would that work out for you?
Well, I'm going to be perfectly honest. I think it's a bad idea.
Okay. Tell me what. And I want to hear.
Because we've had the input from the public, and most of the input that we've gotten is either, how come this has taken so long? Or, you mean you guys aren't already doing that?
Well, there's been input that's been, please don't do it.
Yeah, there has been. There has been, but I think that's kind of been kind of few and far between.
I mean, I thought when we had an open meeting and people stood up and talked and people remember why the agency split apart, and there's still a lot of feelings and concerns there.
There
about
are,
that.
But, and I understand that, I do understand that, but that was quite some time ago, and there have been changes. But to get back to this particular point of trying to reconfigure the board, I think by bringing in, we're not dealing with a hostile takeover. It's both of the agencies said this is a good idea, let's pursue it. It's not a government entity taking over a private enterprise. It's not even two private entities trying to take, you know, trying to somehow merge together. By adding somebody who, and I'm not sure that I could think of somebody who would have the kind of experience of actually, because we're at the point where it's operational now. We need to be down to the nitty-gritty of operationally, how does this look? Financially, how does this look? And by bringing in a third party who is kind of like in this role of an arbitrator, there's nothing to arbitrate. At least that's what it is in my mind. And I think that would be a bad idea. I think it would just put the brakes on things. It would slow everything down unnecessarily. The reason why things are slowed down, I think, is because we worked really hard to get the pieces in place. And now it's kind of, we're waiting. Because before the next steps can happen, because we got to know what the town wants to do in terms of their annexation and how that's going to be presented. Then we can come out, and once we know the specifics of that, we can start talking about how do we help with facilitate with town hall meetings, answer the questions that we need. You know, we know that those pieces need to happen, but we haven't gotten to that point where we have a specific that we can go out to talk to people. Same thing with like the Outer Islands. We're waiting to see what the petitions look like. If the petitions are the way we think they are, that we can put that aside, and that's a done deal. That makes that much easier. And then right now, where our focus is again the nuts and bolts of the operation. Now that you know fire has their BLS aid license, when tones drop, what does that look like? We're working with dispatch. We're working with does a fire engine roll? Does an ambulance roll? Do both a fire engine and an ambulance roll? Do we start staffing people at Roach Harbor? You know, during the busy summer months. We try to keep a couple of people there. We keep them here at the station. So all those operational kinds of things, that's we're getting down into the nuts and bolts right now. So, again, by reconfiguring the steering committee, I think all that's going to serve to do is put the brakes on something that doesn't need the brakes put on it. We need to be working at answering the specific questions. That's just my feeling.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's fine.
I think it's really important to know. I mean, And clearly, when you're talking about operations, you need to have somebody who really understands operations within the EMS system, within the fire system. Right.
And how that looks in an integrated system as well. Mm-hmm. And we've got those resources. We've got Chief Havner, we've got Chief Williams, who run integrated systems. We have Chief Collins, who came from an integrated system. We've got enough resources out there that... we don't have to reinvent the wheel, which is encouraging.
Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, as opposed to an arbitrator, too, I think more of somebody who just sees those the pieces that might be missed, and that, of course, takes a lot of knowledge to know, about this or what about that, right. Those pieces that you don't...
So there are educational pieces that have been a stumbling block, I think, for EMS.
Yeah. And educating the public, getting
even internally. So,
staff, dealing with staff, and then also dealing with. Yeah. But I do think the public knowing the steps and getting that out there, like you said, the public forums in some way. So
that annexation vote with Tam in April is going to be very telling for us in terms of the climate of the public, what their opinion of this is. So, I mean, that's something that we need to wait and see, but we need to be proactive and be involved in, whatever town hall you have, whatever. Steps you're taking.
So the steering committee would then, right now, they're helping to steer the ship?
Help
me out, because I haven't been to any of the meetings. So. Yeah.
What we're doing is we use the CAG report as kind of that roadmap. They identified what the potential roadblocks were to a full integration. And we said, understand that. What do we do to fix those kinds of things? So we started working on the Outer Islands issue. We started talking with the town. That's when Duncan Wilson was involved with the steering committee because, that is a very big component of it.
But he's not on it now.
Well, he is, and he will be probably up until the town vote happens, yay or nay, because then really he's got nothing more to say about it.
Right.
And so his intent was right from the beginning with the steering committee was that once we answer the question about annexation, whether it's yes or no, I'm out. I got enough other stuff to do that, I'm not going to be able to contribute to anything. So we'd come back down to an elected official from the hospital board, an elected official from the fire commission, Collins and myself. And really, I think that's a good working group because we can talk about the operations portions of it, the financial, and we still have representation from you guys as the electeds who represent them.
Because you're still the boss of you.
That's right, because you guys are the boss of me, for sure. And that's the deal. And so we'll try to figure that out for you.
So
So it is a new map. I mean, that's the original map. You have a new map, and we talked about wanting to kind of see that new map, mm-hmm. so how it progresses as it goes. Even if we're not to the point of annexation yet, we can say, okay, annexation, and then public forums, and then
there's the next steps.
You know, what those are, that would be...
Yes, and the plan is to have something like that, you know, for our regular
board meeting.
Yeah, where we can lay out those, and Nathan's already done a lot of that work already in conjunction with the steering committee. We put together some of those flyers and things like that have some timelines laid out, and they'll need a little tweaking and a little revising because you know we've got some of those answers.
Is that something we should plan for our next regular meeting of having a presentation from both you and Chief Collins and?
Yeah, we can definitely do that. That's something.
I can map it out. I've done it.
Yeah.
You have. Sure.
Collins always calls me to do it. Yeah. I've gotten so I can do it from memory, but there are components.
See you, Warren.
Bye, Warren.
Go Zags.
Kyle, what were you going to say?
Sorry. Yeah.
Go Zags. No.
Go Zags.
Go Zags.
I don't want to make you feel bad, Kyle, but the barge to build our dock showed up today.
Ooh, wow.
How I'm really excited.
Oh, bring my paddleboard over.
I was going to ask for a similar document, the one that we've been discussing, because I know that Chief Kutzing and you and Chief Collins mentioned it. There is something like that in the works, maybe. Nathan has been working on this, I'm not sure. But I think it would be very useful to have that action item list.
Yes.
And then the status of each of the action items. Sounds like you've completed a lot of them. Sounds like there may be more to go, at least the major ones. Obviously, the details we wouldn't know. But we'd love to... I'd really like to see
So that. I think that that's, you know, something that the two, Everett and myself, being on the steering committee, you know, we're meant to report back to the board on what happens at our steering committee meetings, but I think seeing that, we all need to be brought up to speed.
Yes.
That is a totally appropriate thing.
Yeah. Nathan already did a nice job at a steering committee.
And so,
thank you, sir.
Of that.
I mean, I can see.
Could present something like that.
Absolutely, I think that's easy to do.
Is that a Gantt chart on our website? Mm-hmm. It is. Okay. Yeah, it's all there.
Yeah, have you guys all seen the meeting summaries from all the steering committee meetings?
All on the website.
Yeah.
I can email them to you if you like, but it has a number of charts in there as well.
Okay. It's kind of better to go to the website then.
I just need to.
It'll answer my. Questions I've got in terms of the timeline and milestones, the action items that need to be completed.
Perhaps. Mm-hmm. But there's
that.
It
won't
hurt to just boil it down.
There are, in my mind, having been on this project from day one, went to all the CAG meetings, did all the minutes, they had me help with the report. It's been a good project and it's gone well. And there's been lots of consensus and positive feedback. And as a whole project, it's gone very, very well, particularly given how many agencies are involved and given sort of the local political context, just small island being small island. But it's gone very well. There are really a couple key points that have drawn almost all of the conflict. And those key points being one, the interlocal agreement, that generated quite a bit of dispute. And I think in many ways has, fairly or not, undermined confidence in the whole process. And I think particularly when you read like the journal's year-end summary. And you read,
was it one of the items?
Yes, one of the items. We were number one. We were actually three of the top five stories.
Really?
Yeah. And a lot of it was wrong, and it was based that one part. She did a good job, almost all of it. Yeah. That one part to do with the CAG report had some inaccuracies. And that's a consequence of essentially this magnifying glass that's being shined on this one portion of the project. But, you know, and that is what it is. And then... I think the argument over three versus five commissioners, you know, that's have been less of a dispute, but when I talk to people one-on-one and in smaller groups, it does seem to come up a lot. I hear that a lot. And honestly, I can't think of anything else that has really been genuinely controversial about this project. The rest of the project is in pretty good shape. I mean, everything from working out licenses to starting work on the operation, consolidation, to working maybe not quite as much on long-term financial stuff. And maybe that's the third thing that I hear about some is some of that. But, you know, even our budgets, PhD and EMS, doesn't really have a lot of long-term stuff, and maybe that needs to change.
We need to know what kind of levy we're asking for. We need to create a budget of a combined agency so we know what we're asking for. And we can't just pick a number, you know. We've got to know that we can operate within that.
Basically, they took the combined rates, the 2018 rates, EMS, plus fire, which equals 98 cents. They rounded off to a dollar and said, let's start there.
Right, but the idea was that the combined agencies would be cost effective and would save
right, and so the public money, needs so to know more than anything that number,
like,
yeah.
Why
right.
would the public vote for something that's, you know, we can sell the service aspect of it, but we have to talk about the financial side of it as well.
I think it's a fair point to raise, and it's worth talking about. You know, even I remember in the CAG talking about this, and when they interviewed guests and people have gone through this, the thing to keep in mind is that you can anticipate that your immediate costs will actually be higher. This is about long-term savings, mm-hmm. not immediate savings. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing to keep in mind is that, you know, we'd be looking at going back to a 50-cent rate. Mm-hmm. So around the time that we're talking about this consolidation, we would otherwise be going out for a renewal of our levy at mm-hmm. 50 cents, which is essentially a lid lift, which you do every 6 years and which we've done historically. So based on that, it actually would be a lower rate. When I'm throwing out all these numbers, I hope we're not losing people too badly. Sometimes it helps if I have a whiteboard, I can chart this out because there's a lot of numbers being thrown around. But justifying the financial value of this project to the public, and you're correct, Commissioner Lindstrom, if it's not really my place to say whether you're correct or not, but I agree.
I like your
with
this is a casual meeting.
Yeah. As long as you say you're correct, you know, you can say it. Yeah.
I agree, though, that it's, you know, when you're going to the public and you're going to explain this and you're going to say, well, we're actually taking a higher rate than if you combine them to right now. Well, you're going to have a real issue there,
yeah.
And you're going to have to justify that, even if it's quite reasonable, and you can show on a chart how this is actually a lower rate than it would otherwise been at the same exact time, and long term it's going to save you a levy lid lift, and you're going to save all this money, and it's all true. You still have to deal with that the day you vote, are you saving money question,
uh-huh.
And that's you're going to have to justify.
Yeah, and that and the I think, like Nathan said, we said, all right. Here's our rate right now. Here's fire's rate right now. Put them together. Because we know we can do it for that.
Right.
You know. So we've got that. And then by starting from that and then working through it and starting to look at some of those operational things, then we can, when it comes actual time to go out for it, we can say, here's what we had planned on, but you know what? We've already demonstrated through, you know, we've reduced this, we've combined services mm-hmm. there, that we can do it for that. Or, no, this is what we need because we got to build up capital reserves or whatever. Well, you know.
But we need to look at numbers to actually.
I have a question about whether Town Annexed and Outer Islands Annexed cost more than they do contracted, or is it going to be, is it the same?
Well, that's also
gonna
be a complicated
thing. That's going to be very
complicated. That's a hard sell Town has to make.
For the Outer Islands, it's not hard for them because they want the fire service
right.
because they can't get insurance mm-hmm. out there, which is, you know, they're willing to pay that money.
Each town member has to contribute
right.
more.
They're not currently paying
they're not
for
paying.
That.
All they're paying is for medical service. They're not paying anything for fire protection. Yeah.
But they're willing to. But,
but they're willing to. Town's going
to
be another story because what they're seeing is that, all right, right now they pay an EMS levy. That's part of their bill. Then they have the town taxes. And then the town takes, okay, well, if we had to run a fire service, it would cost us this much, and they just basically write a check for fire protection. So a couple of the town council members have said, well, it should be a net zero kind of thing if we're gonna do that. And then the rest of the town council said, but we've got, you know, $30 million of improvements that we've got to make, and we've got no way to do it. So we don't want to give anything back. We're just going to see if the town's willing to accept that extra. If, you know, and having the town annexed into the fire district makes things very clean and very easy. But it doesn't preclude us from having an integrated service, because what would happen is if the town voted no, then what would we'd come along and the EMS levy would, when that died and we had an integrated service and there was now a fire lid lift, let's say we followed that pathway, then the fire department would go back to the town and say, yeah, you know that $200,000 check you wrote us every year, well, now we've got EMS, so you're going to have to write us a $300,000 check in order to get both services.
Because you're saying the new levy for EMS would run through the fire district and
right.
would not include the
right.
town.
So whatever contract is in place for the town and fire service would now have to be a renegotiated contract for fire and EMS services to the town.
So town citizens could say, we're going to wait for that because we're going
to... They could. And then you come to the problem is like, okay, well, now we've got fee for service.
And then town citizens...
And that means if you have a fire, guess what? You're going to get a bill. Or if you've got a medical emergency, you need an ambulance, right? You're going to get a bill because you don't pay taxes to support.
Because our poorest people are actually in town.
And most of the population is in town. Yeah. So the majority of calls are in town as well. And so then you look at it like, you know, is the rest of the district subsidizing services? Yes. So it's very complicated.
It's not easy. And it's going to be about how the passionate champions, to use the term that is used so often, comes out and says, really, this is, you know, we're making hard decisions here. You don't want to be driving on roads that are full of potholes. And you want, when you flush the toilet, that to work. Mm-hmm. And you want the ambulance to show up. And you want the fire engine to show up. Mm-hmm. We got to pay for it. Mm-hmm. So how are we going to pay for that? Mm-hmm. And if either we have to pay more on the front end or we have to triage. And you say, okay, well, we'll say this is important, that's important, and this maybe not so much. And just hope the sewers don't back up. I don't know. I'm glad
so
I don't have to make
I'm
that
I'm not
decision.
Saying that this issue is this way, but if in fact people would have more faith in a five-person board in terms of voting for this and having it happen, mm-hmm. I think it wouldn't be a bad compromise for the fire district potentially to say, hey, we'll have a five-person board and we'll have a citizen, you know, something on the, someone on the board so that citizens potentially feel more at ease and represented.
The way that I recommended it is the annexation and the vote and all of that agreeing to then two commissioners with open positions are then voted in at the same time. Kind of idea that there's a position open. Because really, commissioner positions are up to the public as much as we would like someone on the board that has a medical.
Right, and I don't know how big of a public issue that is, but that's something I've heard a couple times from different people who are worried about how it was before. Mm-hmm. They say, oh, why can't we? There should be more representation, that'll fix it. And it may not fix it, but it's just something people have a
concept. And I think what
we have
to do is trust in the entities that are in place right now, because the town is represented by their town council.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the town council makes it, you know, it's representative government. They make the decision for them. Whether or not they want to cede that to a fire and EMS kind of thing. You know,
but town citizens don't vote for fire commissioners.
Right, they can't.
Yeah, they don't.
Once they're annexed, though, they will have a vote down the road. It's not right away.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
So it's a 2-year delay.
And so they could potentially, you know, if it stayed with a 3-member board, there's a very good possibility that the next open commissioner, you know, would come from the town. That's where the population exists.
Right.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, so that would take that would solve that particular issue.
I think we have a lot more discussions.
Yes.
Obviously.
I think we should wrap it up for now. I mean,
I'd love to have another one of these.
I know.
Because I think this is really, I don't know how you guys feel.
Okay, so Nathan, let's talk about scheduling a special
maybe
meeting
a little
for
shorter.
February where we can continue to discuss
by an hour.
Can I just touch on this quality assurance topic really quickly? After our last discussion on this, and I chatted with Warren about this a little bit, and I kind of refined my thinking on it. In the meantime, I got a Facebook message from a concerned citizen, which I'm like, this is how you're contacting me, okay? And they were upset that someone was using EMS to promote their private business. So I guess it was
Gavin Gard
getting a class. And I said, I really don't know what that is and what that means, but I will follow up. And so what it made me start thinking was, it's like the previous letter that we got that we discussed in our last meeting. We have a letter from a concerned citizen talking about something that is sort of under our jurisdiction. And then I got this Facebook message for this other issue. So, you know, we discussed the previous letter, but we didn't do anything about it. And so I guess what I'm realizing is it's kind of about accountability and how we're meant to represent the public. So perhaps this previous letter we should have said, okay, we have a quality assurance committee. The two commissioners that are handling that are going to respond to the citizen on our behalf as a board. And I think that's really what it is. And so follow up on those details, talk to appropriate people involved under the advice of Pam, you know, who will direct point us in the correct direction, and then respond. Because we didn't respond to this person. I didn't. I said, well, here are my suggestions. But I think that that's something that we collectively as a board need to do. And so, like, this I can share the Facebook message with Nathan. He can forward it to you. And then I would then talk to Carl about it, and Carl would explain it to me. And then the Quality Assurance Committee would then respond to this person. Correct? Does that seem like an appropriate function of quality assurance?
Well, it seems almost, to me, it seems a little bit more like we've referred it to, Carl, and he will get back to you. Because as far as us getting back to him, I think it's about, like, we talked about, William Skiger, and we passed this along to the hospital, and they're going to respond to you. You know, not that we're going to respond to you, but that we've passed it along to the people. How does that be?
It's appropriate to say, like, this is what we did. This is who we referred the problem to. Yeah. I mean, that would be our quality assurance response.
As opposed to, giving
it. Because we have to respond in some regard. And then, yes, we would pass it on to Carl.
Basically, it's like we care about your issue, and we pass it along to the...
Because they're concerned.
And please contact us if you do not get a response.
And I don't know anything about this class or whatever it was. But he was like, well, it's a publicly funded agency and building, so does that mean that that building is available to anyone in the public to promote their own private business? And I said, I don't know.
No.
I don't think so, but I don't know what they're doing. So would you like to let us know?
I will. And, and just the background that I got was Gavin's a new PA working with Dr. House, and he said that he has a program that he's developed as a health provider that he would like to share with the public.
Cool.
And I kind of looked at it and I said, well, EMT with us, you're not promoting your own business. I didn't stay for the presentation, but I know, but I did say, yeah, I guess it's appropriate. It's health related. We have chick meetings there. We do other things.
Yeah.
Again, I wasn't there, so I really can't say. Were we promoting somebody's private business?
We tend to treat healthcare like a public service.
Not, right. Okay, that's a great response.
That's the reasoning behind it.
And it was a free class.
Free class. Yeah. And
if I would have gone, but dang it, I was working and coming home from the
fair.
Anybody go? Because it sounded really interesting.
Lainey was there.
The one thing is, I know, because at the Mullen Center, we have free classes that people can do, and they are, promote their business in the sense that they offer the free class, but then you have to pay for follow-up services. Just to make sure that the services are, the healthcare service is an actual service that whatever the organization is, can endorse in a certain sense. You wouldn't have something that...
Yeah.
Decided that, coconut oil is the answer to everybody's problems. Come to our seminar, because then you are seen by sponsoring it and allowing free space to promote it in some way. Coconut oil is good, though.
I've heard the opposite, okay. But I stick with the coconut milk. But then who gets to arbitrate which infomercials are appropriate and which ones are not? Because that's what kind of what I'm hearing. So this could end up being kind of a teaser seminar that says, and by the way, if you want to follow my plan. It seems that we should, if somebody wants to give information during a session, that's one thing, just a purely informational outreach. But that if there's a potential follow-on.
And this is the kind really of thing that's been making me crazy.
And I don't want to overstep, too, by the way, because you've got your role in
here. And really, it kind of falls to me right now. And in hindsight, what I probably should have done is that Gavin sent me the presentation. I'll take a look at it.
Okay. Sure.
That would have been a better way to go about it rather than taking it on faith.
Yeah.
And second of all, and more importantly, is we need policies developed for this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because it's that kind of thing where you got to go, well, that makes sense. But then it's not codified anywhere. Nobody knows, and it's becomes
arbitrary.
But
people can come in and say, you let him do that.
Then all of a sudden you're backpedaling. It's like, all right, nobody gets to do anything.
I mean, Dr. Earnhardt could say, I'm a healthcare service provider in our community, and I'm doing these laser treatments in my office, and I want to be able to give a seminar on that.
For benefits,
I know the library has a policy, like they don't let people use their space to promote personal.
So how do we? So that's how.
So this is an interesting question, and I think this is our quality assurance committee.
This is and you're right. I mean, excellent point there. That it's like send me your.
So we probably need to create yet another committee.
Okay.
I actually support just creating having some policies in place, so that
and
we need to identify new ones. Right. It can doesn't have to be long, but it gives you a little bit
of framework. The wonderful thing about what I've been doing is because I know that we're working toward integration, is instead of taking all our policies that are woefully outdated because they have not been modified in five years now, right now. But 2015, I think, was the last time that they were actually looked at. Mm-hmm. And instead of doing that, knowing that there's a piece in place that the fire department is done with this Lexapol, and I may have talked about it. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to talk to you about it. It's a service that's contracted and seems like the answer to our prayers right now. Mm-hmm. But that is the kind of thing where I've been kind of holding off on some of the policies where I can say, all right, we got kind of a plan in place that should be implemented pretty soon that will help us get our policies back into shape. Because there was like uniform policy, that came up. Somebody went, they were on duty, but our medics are saying that, all they've got to do is if the pager goes off, they've got to be able to respond. They're supposed to be in uniform. It makes sense for them. They showed up in a court hearing to support somebody. They weren't on the clock. And it was brought to my attention. I don't have a policy for uniforms because we didn't have anybody wearing uniforms up until 2 years ago.
Right, right.
It just didn't happen.
So all these questions come up.
Exactly. And it's like, tell me now. it's that kind of thing where you realize there's just
I have
so
an
much
idea about
stuff.
That. So if you want to talk policies and procedures sometime, we can talk about
good
it. Yeah.
That's great.
And how you can chip away at that.
Yeah. Also, go ahead.
Sorry, just one comment is on the Quality Assurance Committee, though. We probably do need to come up with a different name for it, since the Quality Assurance Committee is a really specific thing under the law. So I have to think about what that function is and then come up with an appropriate name.
Okay. Community outreach, community response. Yeah,
a complaint board, I don't know.
Because, when it was brought up, I spoke up about it, and I never intended for us to go to Peace Island and say, wait a second, they weren't happy with that surgery or anything like that, so you guys need... No, that wasn't the idea.
No.
It was the idea that somehow we are responsible to the community for the level of health care that's being provided. And so we need to know when they are not happy. So somehow we need to be the place...
Right.
That they can come to.
Community outreach committee.
Yes, and so we need to.
Or inReach.
Kyle.
Well, I was going to say, I actually don't think we need to be that place necessarily. I think we need to be that place if they have gone to other places and haven't gotten satisfaction, because we are the elected representatives.
Yes.
But I really love people to take their complaints directly to the people they're having trouble with first.
I agree.
Right.
I agree completely.
Right, but it is our job as the agency that oversees the taxpayer subsidy that we give to PIMC to say to them, hey, this is something we're concerned about.
Yeah.
And what sort of policies are you putting in place to address these issues? And we get an opportunity to say that to them once a year.
Right, I agree. I mean, they don't need to come to us to solve the problem that they are having at EMS. But if they are not satisfied with EMS, who are they going to go to? That's when they need to come to us. Or if they are having an issue with
PSIDR, Annalisa's point,
then we need to know.
In any sense, we need to find out if you do not get the satisfaction from the contact you're going to receive from this, come back to us if you need to.
And the way I would handle it is I would go to you because and say, hey, this person really wasn't satisfied because it still needs to be
referring to them first. Right. He's going to call them back, not us.
Well, right.
And
that's
then they're
going
to come back to us if they need to.
So it's not for us really to do. It's to delegate, but for us to be sure that ultimately... And if you do the best and the person is one of those that is never going to be made happy, then you know that you've done the best and that's it.
I just want to make a quick point that I am gone for the next 2 weeks, and that usually on the Friday prior to the week when we have a board meeting, there's an agenda meeting. Kyle, if you'd like to sit in for me on the Friday prior to the meeting, you're most welcome to do that. Of course, Nathan can set up our agenda by email with everybody kind of putting input into what everyone would like to see on the agenda.
But you'll be here the 22nd?
I will be here.
Oh, okay.
But I get back on the island on the 18th, I won't be here the 17th to talk about the agenda. Mm-hmm. Nathan has said we can certainly just refine our agenda on the Monday because we have time. We don't have to present our agenda until 24 hours prior to the meeting, but I just wanted to give the Vice Chair the opportunity to handle that task if he so wishes.
Vice Chair.
And I'll give that up to you.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
I have some family business I need to take care of, so I will not be here tomorrow, Monday and Tuesday.
Okay.
Here and in Seattle, FYI. But he will be here, and he can.
I'll be here, but I'll be out briefly.
You can send me a message or call me or something. I mean, I'm reachable.
I can't imagine a PhD emergency. at this moment, anyway.
There's some stuff. There.
And the Friday updates are a great way for us to still stay in touch. And this was a great start. So if anybody has anything else to add, I'll call.
I will be leaving a little early tomorrow. Because of tonight. Good. Yeah. I'm not like Carl, who will work 60 hours a week.
I don't think I put in 60 hours.
Close.
57.
Yeah.
70. Still too much.
60 is out of that.
Thank you all very much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I signed
my thing.
Okay, thank you.
I didn't get one.
Was it in your packet?
Oh, was it?
It was in the very back.
Yes, okay.
It wasn't in my... I didn't have...